that kind of music. I remember days going with my Mama Tucci and Granddaddy to the Fiddler's Conventions all over Middle Tennessee, near Manchester and Smithville and places like that. And I'm from a very musical family. In fact, my oldest brother, I think, can play just about any instrument. Definitely plays the guitar very well. And my next oldest brother, Barry, learned to play the banjo. And they were playing actually at my dad's employment one time during Christmas for a Christmas party. And so of course, the whole family was there, and Greg was up there playing, and Barry was up there playing. And a lady looked across the table at me, and she asked me this question. She said, "Now, what do you play?" And I said, "Football." I cannot play any instruments, but I love it. I love to hear the music, and you're going to absolutely love Smoke on the Mountain. If you've never seen that, it is a wonderful, wonderful play. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Malachi. We're starting what I absolutely love doing, and that is just going through verse by verse through a book of the Bible. And Malachi is an incredible journey into God, hearing from God, and also from not hearing from God. Guys, I don't know how you are, but I can tell when my wife is mad at me. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that. Maybe if you haven't been married that long, you really don't know that. But I can tell when Glenda is upset with me, because I get what's called the silent treatment. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guys, do you know what I'm talking about? If you're bold enough, shake your head yes. If you know what I'm talking about. If you're too scared to shake your head yes, then we need to talk after the service, probably. Malachi is the last word from God to his people. It will be the last word that God's people will hear from him for 400 years. And so my question is this: how mad, how upset do you have to be with a person not to talk to them for 400 years? That's the state that the nation of Israel is in as we approach the book of Malachi. We have God's prophet who is trying to sound the alarm to his people, to the people of God, to say, hey, listen, if we do not wake up, then we're going to miss hearing from God. And that's exactly what we see in the book of Malachi. So if you have your place there, chapter 1, verse 1, would you stand as I read Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1. Scripture says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Verse 2, "I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom hath said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build from the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They may be called, so that they may be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord shall have indignation forever." Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would move upon us today as we hear from your word, as we hear you speaking to us as your people. Father, we want to hear you, and we want to hear from you. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. People are talking today. Church folks and leaders are talking about, and communities are talking about, the relevance of the church today. We're wondering, is our music relevant? Is our preaching relevant? And so many of you may be asking, why are we blowing off the dust off of this ancient book called Malachi? Is it really relevant to our day and time? And I think it is, because I think we're seeing a lot of similar things that are taking place in our society that were taking place in the time of Malachi and in his day. Malachi was written at the end, I believe, of a particular portion of Revelation that God was giving to his people. And so we see that picture painted not only in Malachi's day, but I also believe that it's also being painted in our day as well. Malachi, we will see, is God speaking to his people for that last time before the end of that particular age. And I believe that Malachi was speaking to the people of God at the end of that particular age. I believe that we perhaps are at the end of another age, another season of the end times. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I see so many signs of Christ coming back. Our society has gotten to the point where people have turned against God and the things of God in such a rampant way, in such a violent way, that we're seeing, I believe, the end of the age, the end of time. And the return of Christ, I believe, is soon. In fact, what leads me to say that is that the generation, the Scripture says that the generation will not pass away until they see the return of Christ. What generation? Well, it's the generation that sees the birth of the nation of Israel. And so here we have Malachi preaching to a group of people, to the people of God who were at the end of one season of God's revelation. And I think he gives us insight into our particular season of revelation and our particular season of existence. As we've already spoken, this is at the sunset of the Old Testament covenant revelation of God. We see the sun setting on this old covenant before God will reveal himself. And he is not going to be heard from again for 400 years. Now, all of this book is not depressing, because the most exciting part of the book of Malachi is that, yes, God is about to shut down his communication. But here's the beautiful part. The next time that God speaks, he's going to speak through the revelation and through the bodily presentation of Jesus Christ. We will see him on the scene. And so when God speaks, he's not just going to be speaking through words of the words of the prophets. He's going to be speaking through his Son. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, 1 and 2 says that. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, says this: God, who at various times and in various ways has spoken times past by the fathers through prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. In fact, the language there in the Greek language in the book of Hebrews, actually it says that in times past he has spoken through prophetness. But now he has chosen to speak to us directly through his Son. Malachi reminds us of the stark contrast between the curse of the Old Testament and the blessing and the grace of the New Testament. We know because of God's word that God has the capacity to show judgment. But we also know, because of the presence of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, we also know that the same God that has the ability to show judgment also has the capacity to show mercy and love. And I think we see that in those opportunities for that in the book of Malachi. So why was God at a point where he was not going to speak to his people? Let me give you three or four things that we see in Malachi and that we also see in our day and age as well. First of all, there was a huge gap between the faithfulness and the unfaithfulness of the messengers of God. There were corrupted ministries at that time, preachers and teachers of the word that were leading people astray. There was a huge rise in the divorce rate in the people during Malachi's time. There was a breakup of the family. There was so many things that were happening that were contrary to God's word and to his teaching. We see people, leaders, church leaders, leading people away from God's word. And so the book of Malachi, and as we go through the next several weeks and as we get into this, I've entitled this series Heroes and Zeros, because we see in this book there are several people that step up to the plate. There are several images that step up to the plate to say, hey, listen, we've got to listen to God. We've got to hear from God. But there's also several that are just continuing in their same path, in their same way. And we're going to look at all those. We're going to look at the heroes and the zeros. The hero today is the deliverer. We're going to look at the prophet who brings this message. Before I really get into the text, let me ask you this question. If you only had an hour to speak to those people that you love dear, you only had an hour, and you were not going to speak to them for 10 years, you knew you were not going to speak to them for 10 years, you only had an hour, what would you say to those that you love dear? I believe that's what we see in the book of Malachi. I think it's God's last-ditch effort to try to get the attention of His people to say, I love you, and I'm here for you, and I have a covenant relationship with you. Please hear me in this. And I believe that's what God is saying through the book of Malachi. Let's go back to verse 1 again. The Bible says there that the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi, the word Malachi in the Hebrew tongue, literally means to dispatch. Or to send. Or it can be translated an angel. In an English language, we would translate it as a courier or a messenger or someone who's a deputy, someone who is acting on someone else's behalf. We know that this letter was released, and we know that it was dispatched somewhere around 430 BC. And the purpose of this letter is that Malachi is giving one last appeal to God's people to say, God is about to bring judgment. He is bringing judgment upon you. And it's a judgment that you don't even know is coming. And you're not even sure that you're worried about it. That's how bad you are. That's the state that you're in. Amos talks about this judgment that was coming. Turn with me, if you would, to Amos chapter, just a few books back. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Just a few books back. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. He describes a famine that's about to take place here in Amos chapter 8. This is 300 years, by the way, this is 300 years before the time of Malachi. Look what it says in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. He says there that, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine upon the land. Is that a famine of bread? No. Is it a famine of water? No. It is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12, look what it says. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from north to the east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Isn't it an amazing thing that the people of God, they're being prophesied to them that they are going to be having a famine for God's word, and yet we have God's word in front of us. Each and every one of us have the opportunity, the privilege of communing with God every single day and in His word, but yet we don't see the need to do that. The average believer, the average Christian in our churches does not, except maybe at church, they do not enjoy the word of God, do not return to the word of God. So what were the days of Malachi like? Let me give you sort of an insight, a historical insight into the days of Malachi. There was a great time of sadness because the people were, they had just finished rebuilding the things of God, the temple of God, but yet they had not returned to the passions of God. Judah had returned from Babylon and from the captivity. They had returned to their former glory as far as their buildings and as far as their stuff, but yet they had, and they had rebuilt the temple, but they had not received the blessings of God back to their nation and back to those people. And so they see all these things around them, these things that they can touch, and those things are restored, but yet they don't see the joy. They're not experiencing with expectancy all that God had promised to them. And their faith had turned to apathy, and there was an indifference that was not just localized in local populations, but it was a nationwide, it was a national apathy among the people. They were skeptical of several things. They had four attitudes that they were skeptical about. And we're going to see that as we get into the book of Malachi. First of all, they were skeptical that God really loved them. They were not really convinced that God had a deep love for them. Number two, not only were they skeptical of God's love, but they were skeptical of the word of God and the decrees of God and the precepts of God's word. Number three, they were skeptical of the worship of God. They were indifferent to the worship of God. In their mind, it was not important whether they worshiped God or not. It was not important whether or not they truly gave God worship or not. And then the final thing that they were skeptical of was the service of God. They were not sure that if they served God, that it would matter whether they served God or not. In other words, Malachi is dealing with a group of people that is past their prime. They're moving towards the judgment, and they see the dark clouds of the judgment of God. But even in the dark clouds of the judgment of God, there is a sign and a symbol. There's a ray of hope that we'll see in the book of Malachi that is a future telling of the one who's coming. God, Jesus Christ, in human form, coming to give that word of God again, as we see in the New Testament. So there are several things that I see in this passage. First of all, let's go back to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1. The first thing that I see there is he mentions the burden of the word of the Lord. The word for burden is the Hebrew word nasa. It means to lift up. It means to rise up or to lift up. And so we see the burden of the word of the Lord given to Malachi. And it was a burden. The word burden there is a word that describes the burden that a master would place upon an animal. Maybe a pack or a load of a product that a master would place upon that donkey or that animal for them to carry. Not for the master to carry, but for their animal to carry. And so just like a master would load up his donkey or his mule, and he would load up his animals for them to take that burden, God has given that burden to the prophet to carry to his people, to give to his people. The messenger is to give that message out, and there's several feelings that come to mind as I think about the messenger and the responsibility of that person, that messenger, to give the message of God. There's that compulsion. There's that urgency. There's that feeling of dread. I don't know how other preachers are, but anytime I get right before I'm going to stand up to preach God's word, I always have this dread in my mind, thinking, is this really what God wants to say to his people? And God, am I speaking clearly? Am I speaking with a passion? Am I speaking with clarity so that your message goes forth with clarity? There has to be an urgency in our voice. And so Malachi had that same burden. He had that same desire that his voice would go forth to the people, that they would see his message and they would hear his message. I believe today in so many of our pulpits, our preachers are worried about their image. They're worried about their image being seen as someone who is an encourager, someone who is maybe providing some self-helps, maybe someone who is trying to give a how-to message. Folks, listen, there is no compromising the Word of God. You may think, or we may think, the best thing for us is to have how-tos, how to have a wonderful family, how to raise children, how to do all these wonderful things. But folks, what we don't need is how-tos. What we need is how come. We have the Word of God. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and his relationship with us draws us and drives us to the Word of God. How come? Because Jesus Christ died for us. We have hope. Because Jesus Christ died for us, we have a word to speak. And so Malachi has a difficult message, but then secondly, he has a divine message. Did you notice that it says the word of the Lord? It wasn't the word of the people. It wasn't the word of Malachi. It wasn't the word of the governmental leaders. It was not the word of the people. It was the word of the Lord. The truth is, and what we see in history is that the people had rebuilt the temple, but they had not rebuilt the relationship that they have with God. They had not rebuilt their desire and their desire to worship him in spirit and in truth. The word that's used here in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at the very end, towards the very end of verse 6 of chapter 1. He says there at the middle of verse 6, he says, "Where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts." The word that's used there is the Hebrew word Yahweh. The word Yahweh in the Hebrew tongue was a word that literally defined the most holy, reverent, covenant name for God. There were several names that describe God. Words like Adonai. Words like Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi. God is our banner. Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. But this word Yahweh was the most holy name for God. In fact, the average Jew would not even speak the name Yahweh because they were fearful that if they spoke the name wrong, that God would strike them dead immediately. Can you imagine having such a reverence for God and for His name that you don't even speak His name for fear that if you spoke it wrong, that God would strike you dead? That's the kind of reverence at one time that the people of God had for the name of God. And so we see Him. This is the covenant name, the covenant relationship, the covenant name for God. And He gives us a ray of hope here in Malachi. Look in verse 11. He says to the people of God, to the people of Israel, in verse 11, He says, "From the rising of the sun even to its going down, My name shall be great among" who? The Gentiles. This is a new thing. This is a new statement that's coming forth. This is a part of this new revelation that God's going to bring when Jesus Christ comes. Not only will it be the Jews who will be entered into this, but there will be Gentiles who will be grafted into the family of God. Will be grafted into God's presence and into God's family. And so we see here a picture, a foretelling of the covenant relationship that God has between Him and His people. The walls have been rebuilt. The things, everything that could be rebuilt had been rebuilt. But the covenant relationship between God and His people was still in ruins. We see that in several places. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 8, we see that the priests were corrupted. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, we see that they profaned the covenant relationship that they had with God. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, we see that this covenant marriage that God had established was broken and in shambles. We see so many lives that were in shambles and in ruins because they did not have a right relationship with God. So we see the difficult message, we see the defined message, but now I want us to see the declared message. Notice what He says there. He says, "This is the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." The word "by," this little tiny word, is the Hebrew word yod, and it's translated "hand." In other words, here is the messenger. It's by my hand, but I am not giving this message from me. I'm giving this message on authority of God. I am the divine messenger. I have been divinely appointed, and it is by my hand that I'm delivering this message, but I'm delivering this message based on the authority of God and God's will. So is this a relevant message? Well, I think it's a relevant message for us because the same people that Malachi was dealing with look eerily similar to the kinds of people that we are trying to reach today in and out of our churches. Several things that lead me to say that. In chapter 1 and verse 2, we see that they would not respond to the love of God. In chapter 1 and verse 6, we see that they would not honor God. They were servants, but they didn't know who to obey. And they would not obey. Their ministers refused to lead. It's an epidemic in so many of our churches. We have pastors who just don't see the sense and the calling of leading a congregation. Folks, listen, I believe with all my heart that God's going to point His finger at one person in the life of the church. He's going to point His finger at the pastor and say, "You either led these people down the path that I asked you to lead them, or you've led them astray. I'm holding you personally responsible for the health of that congregation." We need pastors who lead. Pastors who will lead based on the Scriptures, based on the Word of God. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14, we see the breakdown of the family. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, we also see the breakdown of the covenant marriage and the covenant relationship. Glenda and I attended a wedding yesterday. A good friend of ours is Russ Lee. He's one of the singers for New Song. And his son got married yesterday. And they made a really big deal. I love the wedding ceremony because they made a huge deal of the fact that this was not just a marriage between a man and a wife, but this was a covenant relationship between a man and a wife and their God. It was a beautiful picture, painting the picture of the covenant relationship. Folks, listen, you don't enter into a marriage and it's just you two. You're entering into a marriage, and God is the third person in that holy marriage. God's the input. He's the one that we worship. In Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10, we see that the stewards were refusing to give what they had been challenged to give through the tithe. We see in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 14 that all they wanted to do was complain. That's my proof text that they were Baptists. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Malachi warns them that the time is coming near, and he calls backsliders to draw back to God, and he calls those backsliders to repent and to come back to God. Now, before I conclude today, I want to give you what we're hoping to do through this message and through the series of messages as we go through the book of Malachi. Here's what he was trying to do. Here's what Malachi was trying to do in his day and time, and what we are seeking to do through this message series that I call Heroes and Zeros. Number one, he was trying to set forth a clear message to the message of God to an insensitive people. These were people that could care less whether they heard from God or not. That's how bad it had gotten. These people started out in a covenant relationship with God where they hung on every word of God. They hung on every phrase and every word of God. They had gotten to the point at this time, and this is the reason that God was going to silence his words to them. They had gotten to the point where they could care less whether they heard from God or not. May we never get to that point. Number two, Malachi records how the people questioned God. Not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times they questioned God. Number three, they refused to admit their failure. They refused to admit that they had failed in their covenant relationship. And what we're going to see in the book of Malachi is God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. And when God establishes a covenant with you, he does not change. And so if there's been any movement in this process, in this covenant relationship, it hasn't been God that's moved, it's been us that's moved. And that's what we see in the book of Malachi. The people of God who at one time were in love with him and had a covenant love and a covenant relationship with him, they were not willing to admit that they had moved and that they had failed in their covenant relationship with God. They refused to repent, to turn back to God. They had no king, they had no faithful priest, and they only had one faithful prophet. And we see them as the book of Malachi unfolds, we'll see him standing strong. I can see that there's discouragement in his voice so many times. So we get into this, we'll see that. But the strength that he shows in the midst of such turmoil, in the midst of such apathy, is amazing as he continues to stand for God and the message of God. My question this morning as I close is this. Is this relevant for today? Absolutely. Because all around us we see people that could care less about the Word of God, could care less about the voice of God and God speaking into their life. They could care less whether they do what God asked them to do or not. They could care less whether they have a covenant relationship with God. Here's the truth. God wants that relationship with you. As I've said it before, God deserves a careful reverence. Hear me on this. God deserves a careful reverence. But God also desires a close relationship. God wants to be your friend. But even more importantly than being your friend, God wants to be close enough to you to be your covenant God, a covenant relationship with you, a close relationship that's even closer than, as the Bible says, even closer than a brother. Someone who has a love for you and has your best interest because it's a holy interest and it's his interest. Would you pray with me? I may be speaking to someone today who has never trusted in Christ. You've never even begun this covenant relationship with God. And I believe it's vital in these days that we listen in the right direction. I can't think of a better direction for us to listen than the Word of God. I can't think of a better place for us to hear than from the Word of God. I can't think of a better place for us to respond and obey than to the Word of God. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. And He did all of that so that we might have a relationship with Him. And so my question to you today is this. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to be your Yahweh, to be your covenant God? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? You've repented of your sins and you've turned to Him and Him only. With every head bowed and every eye closed, my dear friend, if today you would say, Steve, I know that I have a relationship with Jesus. I know that I have a covenant relationship with God. If you know that with all your heart, would you just raise your hand and then put it right back down? Would you do that? I know that I have a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. You may put your hands down. If you're here today and you are uncertain of that, we want to speak with you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. Pastor Greg's going to be standing here in just a moment when we begin the invitation time. And when we stand to sing, I want you to come forward and ask Pastor Greg about what it means to have a covenant relationship with Jesus. But I may be speaking to others today. You have sensed a falling away in your own spirit, away from the things of God and the Word of God and time with God. You've sensed, as Malachi is beginning to present to us, a people that have stepped away from the things of God and the heart of God and desire to obey God. Father, I pray that today that all the decisions that need to be made will be made right now. Lord, that Your Spirit will be speaking to that person who's never begun that covenant relationship with God. Father, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. Father, I pray that You would draw that person today that's here within the sound of my voice and draw them into that relationship with You. I pray that today that they would call upon You. Just in a simple prayer, maybe a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I know that You died on the cross to forgive me of my sins and that You rose from the grave so that I might have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus, I believe in You. I'm trusting You as my only hope. If you prayed that prayer, in just a moment, when we stand to sing, I'm going to ask you to come and let us know of that decision. Father, I thank You for these who have made decisions today. And we ask that You might draw them by Your Spirit and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing the hymn of decision. Pastor Greg is here to receive you if there's a decision that you want to make. The altar is open. We invite you to come. As we stand together and as we sing, you come. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear from some characters. One week, we're going to hear about the Slackers. They're obviously a villain. We're going to hear about the thieves. We're going to hear about the returner. I wonder who that is. Thinking about Jesus Christ again, focusing in on Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, don't miss a Sunday, don't miss a week of this series in the book of Malachi. It's going to be a great. I want to encourage you also to begin reading the book of Malachi. It's not going to take you long. Read it several times so that you're familiar with all that's in there, because there's a lot to tell us as I believe we're approaching these end times.